Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a Primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This program is brought to you weekly by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. Stay tuned for today's message.
You are now tuned in to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, and I'm very happy to be able to address you today over the airwaves. I am Joe Nettles, and I'm pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, located at 40283 Wolf Road, outside of Caledonia in the Bartahatchee community. Our church meets at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. I also welcome you on behalf of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, located at 11 Staten Road, in Ackerman, Mississippi. I also welcome you on behalf of Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church, located at 55 Tahoe Road in Mabin, Mississippi. And we invite you to go to the website that services this broadcast, gospel-of-grace.com, and see the schedule of our church meetings. And also, while you're at it, drop us an email through that website that we sure would love to hear from you. Any questions, any criticisms, we would really appreciate you reaching out to us and letting us know that you're listening. And we also meet at 6 p.m. every Wednesday evening at 200 West Garrett Road in the facilities of New Covenant Church in Starkville, Mississippi, 6 p.m. every Wednesday evening. We would love for you to join us. You can also go to Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church Facebook page, hit like, and activate the notifications, and you can join us for our live stream, 6 p.m. every Wednesday and also 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. We have for you a series of messages called Christian Crazy, and we hope that you'll stay tuned with us, and we'll be right back with today's message.
We are blessed in the love of the Lord, undefiled.
Thank you again for staying tuned with us here at the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. As you probably know, I'm Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, and I'm turning my Bible to our text that actually kicked off this series of messages called Christian Crazy. And this is 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Here John says, get buckled up, get ready, get braced. The world outside of Christ knoweth you not, because it doesn't know Christ. So therefore, it's going to look at you as an oddity. It will not understand why you worship the way you worship, why you read the Bible, why you pray, why you do these good and benevolent works without trying to get your picture on the front page of the newspaper. Why do you do these crazy things? Why do you say these crazy things? Why don't you just go with the flow, Christian? Why don't you just accept what the government is expecting you to accept? Why don't you just vote the way we tell you to vote? Why are you so ornery and crazy? Christian's been being called crazy for 2,000 years. Now, I made the distinction last time I spoke on crazy Christianity, that there is cuckoo crazy and there is Christian crazy. We're focusing on Christian crazy. Christian crazy is this: the world who hates Christ will look at you and think you're crazy. They'll call you crazy. And if they get an opportunity, they'll nail your crazy bones to a post and light you on fire, just as they have many martyrs in years past. Okay, that is contradistinct to cuckoo crazy. Cuckoo crazy is people not thinking there's a difference between a man and a woman. Cuckoo crazy is thinking, well, the best thing for the families in America is to make them live off the teat, or give them everything they need. Don't encourage them to work. No, do everything for them. No, all you've done is make a servant out of them. You've run we've run the fathers out of the homes. That's cuckoo crazy. That's cuckoo crazy when you go breaking up the family. Cuckoo crazy is when you've got some full-blown flaming tranny with sparkles and lipstick, full-grown hairy man with an Adam's apple dressed as a woman, and you're trying to pretend that's normal and let them reading books to your children at the library? That's cuckoo crazy. That's evil and wicked. That's cuckoo crazy. We're talking about Christian cuckoo. Christian crazy, so to speak. What the world will look at you and say, I just can't believe. You know, you'll be distinguished in a good way and in Christ-honoring way. Now, we spoke to you, gave you some examples from the Word of God. We went to 1 Chronicles chapter 19, talked about how David was crazy forgetful of those who had slighted him. Okay, we went to 2 Kings chapter 5 and looked at the example of the little Israelite maid who led to the healing of Naaman the Syrian, how she was crazy compassionate. Didn't make any sense, but boy, she loved Jehovah and she knew it was the right thing to do, and she made a big difference. We talked about how Abigail humbled herself, embarrassed herself, and before David, so that her unfaithful husband, her foolish husband Nabal, and all of the men of her household were not destroyed. How she was crazy faithful. And we also tied that together with Hosea chapter 3, where the Lord, who had commanded Hosea the prophet, this holy man of God, to marry an adulteress, a harlot, a prostitute, so to speak, she ran off and left him, moved in with another man, shacked up with another man, and God told him, you go and you get her back. And not only did he have to go humble himself, embarrass himself to go and get this woman back, because their marriage was a living relationship between the relationship between a faithful God and an unfaithful Israel, he had to pay silver. He had to pay barley to get her back. So not only did he have to go get her out of that house, he had to pay to get her out of it, get his own wife back. And we just talked about how crazy, crazy faithful God's people can be and should be in this life. We'll distinguish ourselves with this solemn, loving, genuine thing that the world just counts as crazy. Now we go to John chapter 4, and we're going to see another aspect of crazy that the world would call crazy. Let's look at John chapter 4, verse 13. Here, Jesus has come to have this discourse with the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. The water he's talking about was the water out of Jacob's well, which typified the law service. And certainly, if it's just physical water, H2O, we'll physically drink it, but we'll physically, get thirsty again. But I think more importantly, he was talking about it. If you're trying to draw water out of the wells of the law to assuage your thirst, your spiritual thirst, then you'll always be frustrated. You'll always be in agony and in failure. So here he said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman, the Samaritan woman, she didn't understand him. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. See, she was there in the hottest part of the day, and she was there all by herself to do one of the most laborious things a woman can do, and that's tote water. Why was she, that Samaritan woman, there at the well by herself? Why did she not have any kinfolk or neighbors to befriend her, to be her comrade. Let me tell you something. Nowadays, you go out with women to a restaurant, and they don't even want to go to the restroom by themselves. Why is this woman hauling water by herself? This woman isn't just going to the restroom by herself. She's going to do this arduous task by herself, and we're going to see because this woman was living in sin. This woman had had five husbands, and the woman that she was with now was not her husband. This woman had gone through some serious damaging marital and relational trauma. And she'd been stigmatized, I believe, by her Samaritan village there. So here, certainly, she wants to be relieved of this hot, arduous task of having to collect this water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. Now, wait a minute. Now, if Jesus was offering to this woman, if the water that Jesus was offering is the giving of eternal life, if she'll just request it, which it's not, it's talking about a greater experience of the spirit that's already within this Samaritan woman, a greater welling up of the spiritual life that already dwells within this vessel, okay? Jesus here is talking about how to feel and experience more so than just be quickened and brought into everlasting life. Now, the world would probably change the wording of this. They would say, well, Jesus, this was you missed a perfect opportunity to say, look, if you'll just accept me into your heart and accept me as your personal Savior, then you'll be saved. Well, there was some salvation this woman needed, but I guarantee you, I believe her soul had already been loved and cleansed by the Holy Spirit. And here Jesus has come to not some goat. Jesus came to one of his sheep. And here Jesus didn't tell her any such thing, invite me into your heart. You better do this. You know, if you drop dead, you'll go to hell. No, Jesus didn't give any such ultimatums, but he did command her to obedience and sanctification. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Woo, the woman didn't want to hear that. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that sayest thou truly. So whatever the Samaritans counted for a legal joining in marriage, she lacked even that. Certainly she didn't have what the Jews would count as a proper marriage proceeding. She didn't even have it according to what the Samaritans and the Jews counted them as dogs. So what's he telling her here? Don't accept me into your heart and save yourself from hell to heaven. No. But if she wants to feel that welling up of everlasting life that's already within her, she needs to serve Christ. And you can't serve Christ with lip service. You got to do it by making hard choices. And one of her choices was going to be she needed to move out of this man's house or they needed to get married. Okay, and this woman here, he's telling her things that she would never figure that he would have known. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You're telling me things that you shouldn't know anything about. Verse 20, she said, Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And that's Mount Gerizim she's talking about. They counted that as their sacred mountain, just like the Jews counted Sinai, Zion, and Sinai as sacred. She counted Gerizim as sacred. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem and Mount Zion is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. He's saying there's coming a time when even these Jews of mine, the ones traveling with me, who brag about that temple in that city over there, he said the time's coming when true worship won't even be connected to that city over there. In fact, in Revelation, it's going to be called Sodom. It's going to be called Babylon. It's going to be called a wicked place eventually. He says, you know, neither here in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem will that be worship of the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, what does he mean for salvation is of the Jews? That didn't mean that there was no one being saved outside of the Jewish nation, because we need Revelation 5:9 that God has a people of every kindred, nation, tongue, and people. The salvation under consideration here is the knowing of what you can know authoritatively about God and his plan of redemption. See, the Jews this time only had it in type and shadow until Jesus started coming on the scene and teaching and establishing his own true revealing gospel. See, the Samaritans only believed in the Pentateuch. They only believed in the five books of Moses. They did not count any of the prophets or any of the writings of the Old Testament that we count as inspired, as part of sacred canon. They rejected all of that, and they only read the five books of Moses. He said, "You're trying to worship me." Jesus said, "You're trying to worship me with an incomplete record." He said, "You don't even know how you're trying to worship. Ye worship, you know not what." We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. We have the scriptures. We know we have a fuller revelation as could be had in the Old Testament times of Jehovah. And then he goes on in verse 23, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And listening, friend, today, wherever you're attending church, let me tell you, if you're not attending church, then you're thumbing your nose at both of this, spirit and truth. But if you're going to a house of worship and you say, "Woo, they got a lot of spirit, but they don't have truth," or, "Woo, man, they really have the truth, but they have absolutely zero spirit and love and affection regarding it," then I'm here to tell you, my friends, you need to have both of them according to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. Verse 25, "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh," which is called Christ. "When he has come, he will tell us all things." She knew that. She knew that God had told Moses, "I'm going to raise up a prophet like unto thee from thy people, and him they'll hear." Oh, she's waiting for this Messiah. Said, "When he which is called Christ, when he has come, he will tell us all things." Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." Oh, friends, all she needed was a closer walk with the man who already loved her. What she needed was to obey, to drink of the things of the Spirit so that she might feel a gushing river of water flowing up out of her. The woman then left her water pot. That's what she went there for. And you had to have water for a household to be able to operate and to survive. But you know what? She left that water pot. She ain't studying water out of that well anymore. I'm telling you, what she's studying now is spiritual water. She wants a spiritual flood to wash over her and to cover all of her sins and transgressions and to see them as put away by the Messiah that stood there before, who hadn't even yet shed his blood for her, but yet he loved her and included her in his covenant of redemption. The woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, notice this, she went to these men of good respect among the Samaritans wouldn't have wanted anything to do with this woman. This woman was a harlot. This woman was an outcast. This woman had been stigmatized and ostracized by her people. But this woman was crazy excited about what she'd found. She didn't care about the water pot anymore. And she didn't care about no stink-eyed looks from her other village people. The woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and saith to the men, "Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did." Said, "I know of a man. I can bring you to him right now. He knows all things. He's got all the right answers. He knows all of the information. He is the Christ. He is the Christ. Come and see him. Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" And someone would say, "That's crazy. Why in the world would she think that she can go and affect the minds of people who have just totally disregarded her and discounted her and disenfranchised her?" So somebody may say, no way. Yes, way. This woman was so excited and so on fire for the Lord, she left her water pot behind, she left all of her reservations behind, and she went and witnessed of Jesus Christ to people who wouldn't have given her the time of day, I believe, otherwise. But what did they do? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. They flocked out. Oh, I'm telling you, when the disciples came back, they wondered, "Does he have meat?" Because Jesus said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." And he tells us that's to do my Father's will. And they're wondering among themselves, has somebody given him meat? We went into town to get meat and hadn't come back yet. How is he? He's eating. Jesus told them, the fields are white unto harvest. And I believe at that time they looked up and they saw this flock of people coming from these Samaritan people. These people that they were taught were the uncleanest. They were a mongrel Jew, between Jew and Assyrian. These were mongrels to them. And here they come flooding to who? To Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful day this was. I would have loved to have beheld that. Oh, these people came unto Jesus and they believed. Isn't that wonderful? Just because a woman got a little crazy, a little good Christian crazy, not crazy cuckoo according to the world. She was seen as crazy cuckoo according to Christ. She piqued their interest and, oh, my friends, they came out and they were able to partake of the gracious words of their Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to notice another example that's crazy. 1 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, that great prophet who judged Israel, was a prophet of Israel, was a priest, and also he was the one who anointed Saul as king under the instruction of the Lord. So here's Samuel. Samuel had been born of a bereft womb of her mother Hannah. Hannah prayed for this child. Hannah was granted the miracle of having this son that she so greatly desired. And she had promised that if she had this son, if she was delivered of a son, that she would lend him unto the Lord. In other words, that she would give him for the work and the service of the tabernacle. Okay? The tabernacle service. Oh, my friends, there was a priest, Eli, in that day, and he had some very dreadful sons, and they were very wicked men. Eli was neglectful, fat, gluttonous, and his sons had just been allowed to run amok, to steal the sacrifices, and to take advantage, sexual advantage, of the women who tarried around the tabernacle, hoping to be able to help do some service unto God. They had either beguiled them or abused them and had lain with them. These were wicked, wicked priests in this day. But yet Hannah had made a promise to the Lord that if I'm blessed with this son, I will give this son over for them to rule over and for him to serve with them in the tabernacle. And now this child, you know, they would probably wean a child maybe around 5 years of age back then, just a good guess. So here Hannah had weaned this child, brought this child up, this only son of hers whom she loved and adored, this promised child of God, this miraculous child whom she loved, dear child. And now Hannah has to do what she told the Lord she would do, and turn him over. And somebody listening to me today would say, there is no way I would give my child to those scandalous, wretched priests down there. There ain't no telling how they would molest or disturb this child. And you know, by rational thought, certainly, those are things that we would think about. But this woman had made a vow. She had made an oath unto God, a promise unto God, that she would do this. And I want you to see how crazy trusting she is of her Lord, that Hannah fulfilled her promise in spite of, I'm sure, her reservations, the things that she knew, the things of which she was afraid. We read the song of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and this is given in the context, in the setting of her giving her 5-year-old beloved son, this innocent child, over for these wretched men to raise. And Hannah prayed, this is 1 Samuel 2 and 1, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn, the source of my power, in other words, is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Oh, friends, let me tell you something. This woman said, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. She's saying, as she cries this song out unto the Lord in praise, she's smiling. Her mouth is enlarged. That's a euphemism for the smiling of her. She is beaming with joy. Why? Because her greatest joy is in the Lord, not even in the Son, whom she loves so intently and intensely. She trusted that the Lord would care for her child, and that's exactly what the Lord did. Now, you may say, that's just entirely too trusting. That's just crazy. That is just absolutely crazy. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. If we, as confessors of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, would stop getting our nerves so torn up over the news and the occasions of the day and quarrelsome family members or whatever the case may be, troubles that will assail us, and if we truly just trusted in the Lord whom we confess, if we would just begin doing that right now, I'm here to tell you that would be the greatest testimony, the most visible, distinct, and distinguishing symptoms of a true child of grace is that they just trust their Lord. You may be saying, these are untrustworthy times, but we've always had a trustworthy God. You may be saying, these are absolutely mad times, but we've always had a God of perfect purpose. You may be saying, this is absolutely confusing times, but we've always had an unchanging God of great order. Let me tell you something. He is just the same today as he ever has been. He hadn't given up on being God. He will not abdicate his throne. God will not quit being God. Will we quit him, or will we trust him like the crazy Christians we're supposed to be seen as in this world? I encourage you, friend, trust him today. Love him, and love him by just stop worrying and live according to the word of God. And just see what God has around each and every corner for you. Oh, what a life I live. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful life of faith I've been blessed to live. Until we're able to bring you messages on these most beautiful subjects again, may the Lord richly bless you all.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your area. Visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com to search for a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find additional contact information. This program is also available on iTunes under podcasts with the title, The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Baptist radio broadcast. If you enjoy our program, send us an email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. Come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30. And tune in next week for another message from The Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray that God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the matchless grace.